Welcome back to season two of the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast, equipping you to successfully pursue the college of your dreams. We believe everyone deserves to reach their full potential, and the admissions process shouldn't hold you back.
By the time this podcast goes live and you're able to listen to this, it will be early April. And at this time of the year, juniors, many juniors at least, are beginning to stress out or beginning to think ahead to their essays. I have some really important advice, not just for the juniors, but for the juniors and younger students about how to prepare today to remove as much stress as possible from your experience, your senior summer, leading into those first few weeks of school when you're in a mad rush to get everything done for your application. So for juniors, this is urgent. If you are not a junior, if you're in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, listen up, because future you is going to thank today you for listening and paying attention and just spending a few calories of attention and energy on this today. If you can start to kind of just open up your radar to pay attention to these moments as they happen, and you have some method for keeping track of these moments, then in the future, when you begin writing your essays, instead of stressing and really feeling frustrated that you just don't have anything to write about, you'll have an entire list of moments that you can write about and exactly why those moments are meaningful to you. So pay attention, whether you're a junior right now or whether you're a bit younger. Here's the thing. The things that you think matter probably don't. And the things that you probably don't think matter, matter the most. What am I talking about? When you apply to college, admissions for college is just so opaque, right? It's so difficult to see through all of the different layers of how decisions are made. And especially if you don't have any experience in this, it can be really, really frustrating. But what we can see are historical buildings of incredible significance. Perfectly manicured lawns and quads where the flowers are in exactly the right spots and the trees are just perfect and everything is absolutely immaculate. And so we get this impression that we're applying to a college, which, to be fair, we are applying to the college, but we forget about the fact that the college campus, the perfection, that beautiful building, the perfectly manicured lawn, none of those things are actually admitting or rejecting our application. We are applying to that college, but we are applying through a human being. So think about applying to a person or through a person rather than applying to this perfect picture of a campus. Now, the second thing we can easily forget, besides the fact that a human is going to read this, is when we're filling out these applications, there's not a lot of space to really show off or to demonstrate how impressive your activities are. There's an awards section, there's an activities section, and then there are some letters of recommendation and your essays, right? There's very little space for you to express just how important and valuable you were in your community and all the things that you did. And so the biggest mistake that teens make is they try to be impressive in their essays. And this backfires for two reasons. The first, if you've been listening to me, you know all about the impressiveness trap. The fact that when you're desperate around trying to get into any one college, that desperation makes it almost impossible for you to succeed. And so a lot of people try to be as impressive as possible for 4 years and they sacrifice all of the important things that matter to them so that they can do the most impressive things. And this kind of singular focus around getting into this college becomes desperation. And admissions officers are just like the rest of us. We don't like desperation in our lives. And so when you're bringing that desperate baggage with you, that's going to be a turnoff. But the second reason is, I guess, related to this, and that is just most of the essays, like 99%, I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is, but the vast majority of these essays are all about little stories that allow students or allow teens to slip in humble brags, right? Allow teens to demonstrate, to brag in some humble way to demonstrate that they're amazing. And it's not that you want to do this, teenagers. You just feel like this is your one shot. You have to impress the admissions officers. You don't have a lot of space here. So you have to explain somehow how impressive you are so that they can want you, right? And so you think, well, there's nowhere else to do it. There's an awards section, but there's only 5 spots for that. There's an activities section, but those aren't even necessarily meant to be impressive. That's just how am I spending my time? And then there's these essays. So of course, I need to be as impressive as possible with these essays. The reality is you do not. You do not want to try to impress the admissions officers in your essays with your impressiveness. You want to impress them, but you want to impress them with how thoughtful you are, with how reflective you are, with how insightful your ideas are, right? If you can get them to think about things that they've always seen one way, and you get them to think about those things in a new way, that's really a compelling essay. The letters of recommendation and the activity section slash award section are the place where you want to demonstrate how impressive you are. And I've talked earlier in a previous podcast episode about how to get those incredible letters of recommendation. That's going to be important for you to listen to in order to get outstanding letters. Because, like I said in that episode, most teachers do not know how to write excellent letters of recommendation. You are going to need to train them. And there's a whole process you need to go through. But today, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the essays. And the fact that almost everyone makes that mistake means that when you do not, when you write an essay that is just purely insightful, purely interesting and wonderful, and isn't trying to impress in any way, not even in hidden ways, that is a breath of fresh air for the admissions officers. And you come across as this person that doesn't even need to try to be impressive. You already know that you're important in your place in your community, and you're going to do great things when you get to college. You don't need to try to impress the way that you might if you felt like maybe you weren't impressive enough. All right, so kind of strange and maybe a little bit contradictory there, but you should not use your essays to be impressive. You should use your essays to impress because of your thoughtfulness, your insightfulness, your ability to reflect in deep and nuanced and complex ways. So a human is going to read this, and your job is to make that human see the world in a new way because of you, relate to you, and remember you. Now, I've also done another podcast episode about the personal statement and the things that should be in there, the things that should not be in there. And so you'll want to check that out as well. I'm going to actually give you the link to check that out because at that link, there is another guide that you're going to want. That link is tilc.to/essay. Okay, TILC stands for The Ivy League Challenge, tilc.to/essay. That is going to take you to not only the podcast episode that you can listen to, but there's also a guide to download. And that guide is a place where you can be reminded of these do's and don'ts on your essay, but it's also a little journal that you can keep, where you keep track of moments that matter, moments that are going to lead to outstanding essays. My goal in this podcast is to give you a little bit more context, a little bit more of an idea about how to identify those moments that would lead to outstanding essays. So if you're a junior, you want to start paying attention to these moments right away. Keep track of them as they come. If you're not yet a junior, great. Take advantage. Like I said earlier, future you is going to thank today you for getting started with this now, rather than waiting until it's so stressful that you can't be thoughtful and reflective at all. All right. So how do we begin? I want you, if you've been in the Ivy League Challenge, to go back to your keywords worksheet. Okay. That whole workbook that you did around your Venn diagram about you, who you are, your character, your values, your interests, your strengths, the elements that make you you. And your mission, right? The way that your community is a better place because you exist inside of your community. That Venn diagram leads to your soundbite or to your application persona, right? That's the image that we're using to demonstrate who you are and how you might fit into the college campus. So that workbook is going to be really, really helpful. And then there are lots of exercises after that. I'm going to share three of those exercises today in this podcast. So even if you have never been in the Ivy League Challenge, you can just grab a notebook. One that you're going to keep track of, not one that you're going to lose. Don't just write on scratch paper. Keep track of this notebook. Have it with you so that when these moments occur, when you identify these opportunities, you can just jot them down really quickly. It takes a few seconds in the moment. And then when it comes time to write your essays, you'll have a whole list of opportunities that you can work with. So the first thing to think about is the fact that rather than emphasizing your successes, which are really boring because thousands and thousands and thousands of other applications are all about the person's successes, this is a bad strategy, even though it feels reasonable. So it continues to be used over and over and over again. But you do not want to repeat your achievements. It'll make your reader tune you out every single time. Achievements are boring. I just want you to think of it this way. If you won the big game with a huge shot, that's boring. It's not boring in real life, but it's boring when you're reading applications. These admissions officers have already read your resume. They've already read hundreds, maybe even over 1,000 essays by the time they get to yours. And nearly every single one was about making the big shot or overcoming some struggle, doing something great, some great success. Boring, boring, boring. Instead, I want you to begin making a list of all of your struggles, your little mess-ups, big and small. For example, maybe you've done something that I just did last night when my kids gave me a bag of cheese to open up because they weren't strong enough to open it. I have younger kids. And this bag of cheese, it's so obvious. On one side, there is a Ziploc top, right? So you can easily open and close the cheese. And on the other side, it has nothing like that because you're not supposed to open it from the bottom. And here I was, and I start to open from the bottom, and man, this is a really hard bag of cheese to open. And so I don't stop and think and check to see if there's a better way to open this bag or if maybe I'm opening from the bottom instead of the top. No, I stubbornly insist that I can be strong enough, and I overpower the resistance from the bottom of the bag that's not meant to be opened, and I ripped it open. Okay. And now I have a bag of cheese that's opened from the bottom, so we need to keep the Ziploc closed on the top, which is now the new bottom, right? That's a good example of a mess up. Maybe you've opened up cereal boxes from the wrong side, or you've done something similar to my experience with the cheese. Perhaps you did something more significant. You messed up by prioritizing the wrong things sometime. Maybe you said something insensitive to a friend and it really came back to bite you. These are all examples of mess ups. And these are stories that really help an admissions officer who is a human being, really helps them relate to you. So you want to keep track, keep a whole list of all your little mess ups, big and small, funny and not funny, important and not important. Just keep a list of these. If, for example, you go to the store, this is one that a student shared with me today. They went to the grocery store to buy something urgent. And they went and they got the two or three things that they were supposed to get, and they waited in line. And when it finally came time for them to check out, they realized that they didn't bring their wallet with them. And so they were just so embarrassed. They'd waited all this time and then delayed getting these groceries to the people who needed them. And then they leave the grocery store, make it almost all the way home before he realized, oh yeah, I brought a credit card in my front pocket. And he did. He had the credit card ready to use to buy the groceries, but he had forgotten about it. And so he went back to the grocery store, got these groceries, and anyway, long story, but a great example of a mess up there, okay? Any one of these stories or anything like that, I'm sure you have hundreds, but if you wait until senior summer when you're stressed out about how to add an anecdote or a story in to make your essay more interesting or more relatable, you're not going to be able to think of these things. If you keep track, it's very, very easy. It barely takes any effort at all. All right, so that's the first exercise. The second is your sacrifices, all right? The things that you value so much that you're willing to sacrifice. So really, these are your values. But we're highlighting your values through the things that you're willing to sacrifice. So what are you willing to sacrifice? Money, time, reputation, energy? What are you willing to sacrifice these important things to you in order to get? What are those things in your life that are worth the sacrifice? And same thing, keep a running list. Those little moments that represent how valuable this is because you are willing to sacrifice those moments and those stories, you're going to be glad you have them. Okay, the last thing, this is the hardest. It's also the most valuable. And these are your contradictions. Now, this might be a little bit challenging. I'll do my best in a podcast where it's not interactive. In class, we make this very, very interactive, and that helps students to open up their minds and think about how they can identify their own contradictions. But for now, I'll just give you some examples. So for example, if you're a blogger who really values privacy, that's a contradiction. An atheist who loves to study holy texts. One of the best essays I've ever read is about a football champion, a football star, one of the best in the state, a football star who hates contact, right? Excellent example of a contradiction. There are many, many more. If you start to think in terms of contradictions, you'll start to see them all around you. For example, you may have thought that you care most about winning. If you want to win the competition, winning, winning, winning. Winning is what's important. And then one day you realize that winning sometimes is empty. If your competition isn't up to snuff, if you don't learn anything, if you don't grow, sometimes winning is totally meaningless. And you would rather lose a tournament but grow and become a better competitor then win the tournament and have no growth at all. So sometimes winning is losing, and losing is winning. Sometimes when you go too fast, it actually slows you down. And by slowing down, you can speed up. Okay, so sometimes fast is slow and slow is fast. Think about if you're learning a new skill and instead of grounding yourself and slowing down and mastering the fundamentals, you speed through them. Eventually, you're going to slow yourself down. You're going to handicap yourself because those fundamentals are not as strong as they need to be. And you'll probably have to come back and relearn them, right? So slow can be fast, fast can be slow. Honestly, there are endless examples of contradictions all around us. And there are examples of contradictions in your life where you are both sides of the contradiction. You love everything about the beach. It's your favorite place to be. And yet you're afraid to swim. Or you're a great aspiring astrophysicist. You want to encourage humanity to go explore the whole universe and be very, very forward thinking and risk and try new things. And yet you won't throw away your old pillow from back when you were a child, even though that pillow is so flat that it doesn't even function as a pillow anymore. Example after example after example. If you open your eyes and begin to see yourself from this perspective, you'll find lots of examples of contradictions in your life and around your life. Pay attention to those, keep track of those in this journal, or just download the workbook. If you've been in the Ivy League Challenge, go to your library, download it, and fill out all three of these exercises as well as the other ones that are there so you can begin keeping track of these moments. Now, for those of you who are juniors, if you are feeling like, man, that's a great idea, I want to get started, there's one more thing I want you to know. Each summer, I run a boot camp only for rising seniors to move through the Ivy League Challenge in just 2 weeks. We meet every single day. Instead of meeting once a week, we meet every single day for 12 out of those 14 days. And we start writing the essays. We actually fill in the application. We're doing the work. In the boot camp, most of the students will have already been through the Ivy League Challenge. But we're going to review the key points. We're going to make sure that we've buttoned up every piece that needs to be buttoned up so that we can have an outstanding application because we do still have a couple of months before those regular decision applications are due. And there's at least a month and a half before even the early decision applications are due. We want to make sure that we've crossed all of our T's and dotted our I's and everything is ready to go. And if it's not, we want to catch it during the summer rather than the day before the application is due. If you've never been in the Ivy League Challenge, you can still join us. We've certainly had plenty of seniors join us during that boot camp and just be endlessly grateful that they learned how admissions officers read these applications and they understood how they could set themselves up for success. All right, so that boot camp is coming. That's going to be late summer. The dates are not yet determined because I'm still working out some details around my summer. So I'll be a teaching fellow again at Harvard, teaching that leadership class. And after that class, I have some international appointments that are already set up, some keynote addresses and a camp that I'm running. And so we're working out the last details of exactly when that boot camp is going to be. But you can look forward to a daily Ivy League Challenge boot camp. For those of you who have been in the Ivy League Challenge before, you know that it's completely free to rejoin in the boot camp. If you have not been in the Ivy League Challenge, then you just pay regular tuition to the Ivy League Challenge and we'll finish the whole thing in 2 weeks, but it is only for seniors. We do not allow anyone who is not going to immediately apply to college to join that boot camp. So that's coming. Just kind of keep an eye out for that. That's going to be coming towards the end of the summer. But for now, I really want to encourage you, juniors, get started keeping track of these moments right now. Keep track of them and hold on to that workbook. If you're younger than a junior, print up the workbook or get your own notebook out and start keeping track. When you get into the stress of actually trying to figure out your essays and figure out how to put your application together, it is so hard to be thoughtful and reflective and insightful. Instead, start early. Future you is going to thank today you. Music for this episode came from We Are Here by Declare P. I'm Steve Gardner. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.